thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I titled this Deep and Wide. Now, as you know, there's a children's Sunday school song called Deep and Wide, and that's really what we're talking about here. And maybe just for fun, because we're in church and we like to do churchy things, let's sing a children's song this morning. Does anyone know this song? Okay, good. All right. If you don't know it, it's very easy, and we can catch on to it very. So it starts off deep and wide. There's a flowing deep. This is good. All right, let's do it again. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Now, what Sunday school teachers would do then is just probably because they're like, man, how do we keep these kids busy? So they would just cut words out, and they'd be like, and wide, there's a fountain. That's probably what they did. They thought, well, let's just cut another word out. So they continue to do that. But that is a song that sings about the depth and the wide and the breadth of what God has for us. He wants us to be deep and wide. I don't care about being a mile wide if we're only an inch deep. Who gives a rip about that? I want us to be a mile wide and a mile deep. I want us to be rooted in God's word and to be mature, growing believers. And I believe that's what God wants for us as well. And we can only do that as we engage our lives, our intellect, and submit to this thing called the Bible, which is the Word of God. Now, this may be preaching to the choir today, but it's important for us to understand the value of studying God's Word. Did you know that the Bible is the most popular book in the world? Did you know that it is on the bestseller list every year? Last year, there were over 100 million Bibles purchased and given away. Every week, guess what? It is on the top of the bestseller list. They don't even put it on there anymore because it's always at the top. And it's the most popular, precious, powerful book in the world because of the significance of it, because of what it does to our lives. It allows us to encounter a living God. It allows our minds to be transformed by its word. It changes our perspective on how we see God and how we see others and how we see ourselves and how we see our family. And we read about the faithfulness of God, and it encourages us, and it tells us that if God did it then, that he will do it now in our own lives. And all of these benefits are, many of those benefits are available and can give us access to them on one condition. Does anyone know that condition? If we read it. It can't change your perspective if we don't allow it to change your perspective and actually read it. It's kind of like if we can go through, I can show up at your house and say, man, I am starving. I am hungry. And you can have a table set of food, and then it's sitting right there, and they said, well, you can eat the food. No, no, thank you. I just prefer to be hungry. Many things that we need in our lives and the longing to know God in a deeper way can manifest, and we can reach that place that we desire and we want, and we can grow and become more mature. We can, instead of the things in our lives that we continue to stumble over and continue to fall and continue to wrestle with, actually, if we will go and eat from the table called God's Word, it can transform us and change us. So if we were to ask people in our community or maybe even in this church, how often do you read the Bible? If we were to take a poll this morning, if we had an anonymous app that you could take a poll with, how often do you read the Bible? I bet it would surprise us by the answer. Some people say, well, I've skimmed it before. Some would say, I've read it from cover to cover, and I do so every year. Some would say, well, I've looked at it a little bit. Some would say, I only actually read Scripture when I'm at church. Or if we were to ask the question, what's the purpose of the Bible and what's in it? Some would say, it's a book of interesting stories and has some good principles in it. You know, that's some good stuff. Or it's a book that Christians use, but it's really not to be taken literally. It just has some good thoughts, but you can't take it literally. Or some would say you absolutely have to take it literally. And I'm talking about even beliefs, even in our church. People who come to our church, we can have the spectrum of belief on what the Bible is. Some would say it's to be obeyed. We're to read it and to do exactly what it says. Some would say, actually, you can't really do that because we really need to interpret the Bible through our current culture because it's really not relevant to our culture today. Some would say, well, it absolutely is relevant to us in our time and always will be. Some would say it's a story about a man named Jesus. Some would say it's a story about the Son of God sent by God to this earth. And it gives the account and the stories of how we're to live our lives. Some would say, I don't know if it was really the Son of God, but he was a good man. Many people in the Christian faith have different ideas about what the Bible is or isn't. But really, I think it comes down to this. We have different values on where we place on the Bible. If I tell you I love the Bible, but I never read it, do I love it? If I tell you I love my wife and I don't act like it, do I love her? If I tell you that I love to experience the outdoors and I never go out there, the question is, do I love it? Or is it just rhetoric? These are challenges that I think God wants to speak to us and challenges that I've had to walk through in my own Christian journey in my life. But I think really, maybe in our own culture, we ask this question too much. What does the Bible mean to me? What does the Bible say to me? But what I think the more appropriate question is this: what does the Bible actually say? It's a change of posture, because when you read it, many times in our consumeristic culture, we think everything is about us. So when we approach something, we put the filter of us on it, or we filter whatever we're looking at through us. So we can look at Scripture and say whatever our likes or dislikes are, whatever our experiences are. And so we take our likes, dislikes, and experience, and we use them to help interpret the Bible. So we read something we don't like, we say, well, that's not for me. If we read something we really like, we say, yep, that is for me. But I think more importantly, to understand of prioritizing the Word of God in our lives as believers, as Christians. And you may say, Jason, they say, hey, chill out, Jason, a little bit. Come on. But what we need to understand is if we're a follower of Jesus, there is something that has to be crucial in our lives, in our journey, and that is this thing, this powerful thing called the Bible and the Word of God. The Bible is infallible. It is unchangeable. It is the authoritative Word of God, period, whether we like it or not. And it's a gift that you and I have and have access to if we choose. You know, there are people in the world who have never held a complete Bible. There are people in the world who have never held one page of the Bible. They love Jesus. They've been reached by a missionary or someone who's been saved and then went to their country and shared with them about this message of Christ, and they've received Jesus into their lives. And God gives them a grace to walk and to know him in greater ways. But they, you know what they long for? They long for the written Word of God to hold in their hands and to read. There are people who believe the Scripture is such a valued thing that they, in South Korea, they call it the dandelion operation, which is really cool once I tell you what they do. They print Scripture on balloons. And they write Scripture on them. And they go to the northern border of South Korea, and they blow them up with helium, and they pray over them. We have a picture of it, actually. They pray over these balloons. And they ask God that God would, as the wind is just right, they would release it and it would go over into North Korea. They pray that it would go into the hands of believers who are longing to read the Word of God. Their hearts are beating. They're passionate. If only they could hold one page. And what's beautiful about this is these balloons find its way into the hands of believers. Then the believers take it to their other friends who are underground believers, and they gather around these balloons and they read the words. And they sit around and they read. I think we have a picture of that, actually. And they read the words that are written on these balloons. and they devour them, and they long to know the words. Why are some so excited about the Word of God? And some have 10 of them in their homes and apps on their phones and rarely read it. I think it's a question that God wants to ask us this morning. God wants us to become deep in our faith and to grow in our relationship with Him through this powerful thing called the Word of God. And I'm going to look at a passage, just one passage of Scripture this morning. And I want to break down each word and ask the question, what does it mean? And we're going to emphasize a different word. And this may be a little different, but it should be fun this morning. We're really just going to do a Bible study on one passage of Scripture. And we're reading from Colossians 3:16. But before we read, I just want to pray and commit the next few minutes to the Lord. So, Father, this is Your word that we're about to read. It is infallible. It is powerful. And God, as we read it, we pray that it would impact us, that it would challenge us, that You would encourage us, correct us, strengthen us all at the same time. And Lord, as I speak over these next few moments, I pray that I would say the words that You want me to say. And the words that You don't want me to say, God, would fall to the wayside and not be heard. God, I pray that You give me the grace and the anointing to do Your word justice. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3:16 says this. This is the word of Christ. Sorry, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae. But I want to take a look at the first word that's here. And that word is let. What does this mean? What does it mean to let? What does it mean to give permission or to let? So if I said this, if I said, listen, I will let you come into my home. I will let you sit down at my table. Come on over. It's I'm giving you the free pass. I'm allowing you to come in. It's I'm giving permission to. This is an act of our will to allow the Word of God, to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. It's a submission to. It's like the old painting of Jesus, and many of you maybe you've seen it, where Jesus is standing at a door and He's knocking. And underneath is a reference out of Revelation 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens the door and lets me, and I will be with him, and he will be with me. But if you look closely at that picture, you will see on the side that Jesus is knocking on, there is no door handle. There's nothing there. Jesus just can't open the door and walk in and say, hey, see, I'm here. I've come into your heart. It's assumed that the door handle is only on the inside. It's the act of the person's will to open up the door and allow Jesus to come in. That's true with Jesus, and it's also true with the Word of God. We have to engage ourselves with the Word of God. And Jesus doesn't barge in, and neither does Scripture. I've never heard someone say, you know what? I learned something from Scripture and I didn't even read it. I've never heard someone say, you know what, I just want to know what the Word of God says, and they slide it under their pillow at night, and they go to sleep, and they wake up, and they have revelation. There's this act of will that we have to engage ourselves to open the Word and participate in it. And that's the reality of the submission to, of letting, giving permission to the Word to be in our lives. I want to move on to the next word. We're going to look at word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. We know there's something very powerful about words. Nothing is more powerful, though, than the words of God. And what's interesting about words, when we read them, our thoughts, many of our thoughts are words. Before you do something, we actually have a thought very quickly in our minds that's actually words. We have conversations in our minds. We can have a conversation with someone without actually having a conversation with them in our minds. I know you've done it before because I've done it before. You can ask someone a question, and in your mind, they will respond with words. And then you will respond back to them with words. And all of this is happening in our minds, their thoughts. And here's the crazy thing. While you're having a conversation in your mind with someone that you never really had a conversation, you feel adrenaline, you feel emotions, you feel feelings. It's true. And these words are what's called thoughts. And I believe what Paul is saying here is that we need to get God's word in our thought life, in our minds. Because our thoughts shape our behavior. It shapes our emotions. It's how we process life. As I was reading this and studying some of this week, I had this thought, and I was thinking about the men and women I know that I really look up to. I really love how and admire how they handle themselves, how they deal with frustration or how they deal with conflict or how they treat their family and how they treat me and how it seems that their life is kind of like just this even keel all the time. And I wrote this down. I said, show me a man or a woman who is living righteously, who is self-controlled and honoring Christ with their private and public life, and I will show you a man or a woman who has a daily routine in studying God's word. Actually, one of my mentors that I admire greatly, when he is struggling through some things, when emotionally things seem to be, when he's weary and tired from ministering or traveling, whatever it is, and things kind of seem a little out of whack, and I know we've all been there, you know what he does? He sits down and he reads the Bible until his emotions come into alignment with what he says. All of a sudden, his soul begins to be refreshed and filled back up. And he is a man who is even keel. Charles Spurgeon said it a little better than I did, actually a lot better. He says this, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And you see people, I see them all the time. As a pastor, you see it all the time. Things are going crazy in people's lives. Their emotions are up, down. They don't know how to process. It's very hard for them to, and what they're going, the pain is real, and they're walking through it, and they're processing through it. And I've asked people before, have you spent any time in God's word? And most of the time, it's no, I haven't. Because we become what we believe, and we live what we learn. And what shapes our belief is what we allow to process in our minds, the thoughts we allow ourselves to entertain, to embrace, what we read, the majority of what we read, what we sit down and watch, all of that is shaping our belief system, and we will live whatever we learn. So whatever we allow ourselves to learn, I guarantee you this, it will begin to manifest itself in how you live your life. Every time. And you may not know it, but there may be one step, a smaller step, and all of a sudden you are so far off course in what you ever thought you were going to be because you have become and began to believe and become, sorry, what you believe. And you begin to live what you allowed yourself to learn. I believe what Paul is saying, that we must let the word cleanse our minds and direct our lives. Because the more light you fill your mind with, the less darkness you will have to wrestle with. Listen, we live in a world that is dark. It is always trying to influence you. It's always trying to impact you. But we fill our lives with light, and it pushes the darkness out, so that we can think clearly about what we're going through, about how we're dealing with whatever you're dealing with. John R.W. Stott said this. He said, we must allow the Word of God to confront us, to disturb our security, to undermine our complacency, and to overthrow our patterns of thought and behavior. What's he talking about here? He is talking about letting, submitting to the words in our minds. And one of the opportunities, and what we believe that so much here at the church, that's why we do our best to teach appropriately the Word of God. We do our best to communicate to you in a way that can equip you to be who God is wants you to be. But another thing that we do is we offer this thing called Faith Bible Institute. It's a time that people can go, you can study God's Word, you can engage your intellect, your mind, and your body with studying God's Word. And as you begin to study it, something begins to happen in your mind. Something begins to happen in your soul. Something begins to happen in your perspective. And what keeps people from maybe going to Faith Bible Institute is maybe they think, you know what, that must be for the spiritually elite. It must be for those who are holier than thou. But actually, it's not at all. It's for any follower of Jesus Christ who wants to grow, who wants to become more like Him, who wants to understand His Word, who wants to go on a journey with other people around them. That's what Faith Bible Institute is, and it's available for you to grow, because listen, it doesn't matter if we're a mile wide, if we're only an inch deep. And God wants your life to be a life that is significant, it goes deep, and you understand who God is through His Word. You will never regret studying God's Word. You will not go and study God's Word and say, boy, that was a waste of time. You'll never say that. As you engage with it, all of a sudden something will begin to happen. You begin to say, man, that's incredible. But it's just the act of the will to engage yourself with it. Let's move on to the next word in this passage, which is let submit to the word in our minds of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. We study God's Word, or we teach God's Word, and we're not looking, something to understand, my friends, we're not looking at the words of some philosopher, of somebody with a really popular YouTube channel. We're not dealing with the words of a self-help expert that can make you feel better about yourself. We're not talking about some Middle Eastern guru who has elevated himself as the know-it-all. Listen, when we read God's Word, we're dealing with the very words of God Himself, the words of Christ. From the beginning to the end, these scriptures that we hold, my friends, they are birthed by Jesus. They come from Him. They are about Him. They help us understand Him. Everything about this points to this beautiful, beautiful man and God called Jesus. It's funny, Jesus in John chapter 5, he was talking to some Pharisees. And Jesus told them, he says, listen, you're studying Scripture to try to find eternal life. But you need to know something, boys. The Scriptures that you're reading, they talk about Me. They speak of Me. They testify of Me. So when we read Scripture, we are discovering Christ in a fresh, new way. We have an open invitation to know Jesus. You know, Jason, I just want to know God more. Well, then engage with the Word of God. Let your words become an action and begin to read it. Begin to engage with it. Begin to let your life be a part of it and let it become a part of you. We have an invitation to get our hands dirty, to wrestle with Scripture, to work with it, to study it. And you say, Jason, what do you mean wrestle? What do you mean wrestle with Scripture? Listen, if in your journey of life, and every believer has read Scripture before and said, man, that really challenges me. And all of a sudden, you feel like you're in like an arm wrestling match with the Bible. And you realize, I don't like being in an arm wrestling match with the Bible. But this is pointing something out in me that I think, my gosh, I've got to submit. I've got to release this to God. I have to allow His Word to become superior in my life. There are two things that we can allow to dwell in us. And we're talking about there's the Word of Christ, and then there's something else called the Word of the World. The Word of Christ can dwell in us, or the Word of the World. And the word of the world is always influencing us. Whether you realize it or not, it's always trying to gain access to your hearts and your minds. It's always trying to shape our minds about how we see our life, about how we see God, about how we see one another, about how we see the Bible. It's always trying to shape and tell you what your purpose is on the earth. That's why we need to allow the word of Christ dwell in us so we can be shaped by what it says we are. So we can be shaped by what it says the world is. So we can be shaped in the direction and live the life that it says we should live. You know, and here's the reality, and what you see this, and parents, you understand this as well. God's word is not just for us as adults. It's vital in the life of our children. And I know all of you would agree with that. I realize with my two kids, Seth and Ellie, 10 and 12 years old, and I know you know it as well, our children are growing up in a different world than you and I ever grew up in. They're dealing with things at a younger age than what you and I ever had to deal with. They're having to come to conclusions about their faith, about their moral compass, much quicker at a much younger age than you and I ever had to. That's why it's so important that we engage them with the Word of God, because it equips them. I remember sharing something with my daughter who was struggling through some things, and I was just sharing with her this passage in Scripture, and I read it to her, and I began to explain it, and I saw these tears well up in her eyes. And I said, "Do you understand that?" She goes, "Yes, Daddy, I understand." And then all of a sudden, it equipped her and gave her the strength to understand what Christ had done for her. I mean, our children are bombarded constantly by the word of the world, by the internet, by what they see on television, by what they're exposed to by their friends. That's why every week at our church, our children's ministry does their best just to not do some cookies and Kool-Aid and a balloon and a game. The whole purpose is to deposit the word of God in the lives of our children, so that our children can have the opportunity to experience God's word, to experience the reality of Christ. And these children are being impacted and equipped to be who God wants them to be. Did you know that every week in our church, there is an open position and need for volunteers to help deposit the word of God into our children? Did you know that? Did you know that God can use you to be a part of shaping and helping? And you might say, "Jason, listen, that's for somebody else because it ain't sure for me. I don't think, Jason, I can do that. I can't hang out with kids." Well, listen, you'll never know unless you try it. And the whole vision and purpose of our children's ministry is to allow God's word to go deep in the hearts of our kids, so that they can make decisions that will send them on a trajectory that will allow them to live a successful, overcoming, victorious life. And I can't think of anything more precious than to be a part of equipping our children with the Word of God to live an overcoming life. Because without the Word of Christ, the word of the world will stand unchallenged. It will run rampant into our younger generation. But with the Word of Christ, I want you to hear me, lives are changed. Destinies come to life. Futures are shaped. The broken become healed. Generations aren't subject to the sins of the past anymore. And God can use you to be a conduit to change the lives of the next generation. And maybe God's speaking to you today. Maybe God wants to get you outside of your comfort zone. And you just say, "Listen, I can commit just for a little bit of time." Listen, this is not a program we're dealing with. We're talking about people. We're talking about lives. We're talking about the hearts of young men and young women. If you're interested and you feel like God's moving you to do that, stop by the table and get some more information when you leave today. I want to look at the next word here briefly, and it's this word called dwell. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. It's much like saying what this is meaning. It's like give the word of Christ a home in your life. Give it a home. Give it a place to be. Let it become a part of you. And this word actually means let it hang out for a while or hang out a while with it. So many times in our culture, we're very results-oriented. I know I am. I want to be able to look back and say, "This is what I did. This is what I accomplished. I did this," and I can check the box and it can feed my spiritual ego. And so many times we're into quantity. And I think what Paul is saying is, let it dwell in you. In other words, we're talking quality, not just quantity. Next time you read the Bible, why don't you just stop for a moment and say, what is this actually saying to me? Let me set aside the reading through the Bible and the year plan, and let me ask the question, what is God wanting to say to me with this verse right here? I remember I saw an interview with Jack Hayford. They said, Jack, out of all of your years of ministry, what would you say, what would you wish you would have done more of? And he said, I wish I would have read the Bible less and spent more time dwelling on particular scriptures, letting God speak to me. And that's what this word dwell is talking about. And when we do this, by reading God's word, we take time to allow the words to instruct us, to encourage us, to correct us, to dwell in us. To allow the word of Christ to dwell within you is to actually let it live. It is alive. It is healthy. It's living. It's acting. It's moving us. It's shaping us. And this, you know, I may be preaching to the choir this morning, but it's very important that we understand the value of God's word in our Christian life. It wants to have a place in your life. It wants to be the filter and desires and was given to us by God to be the filter of how we think and how we process. Now, the last point, I'm going to look at this. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. The Bible is just not for pastors. Though probably more pastors should read it more often. The Bible is not for Sunday school teachers. It's just not for Sunday school teachers. The Bible is just not for the seminary professor. The Bible is God's word for you as an individual, as a person. And these are letters, my friends, that are written to you. They have your name all over it. When you're in a crisis in your life, you can call out to God, you can pray to the Lord, and then you can open Scripture and allow it to speak to you. The answers for what you need are in this book. There's so many times in my life I was at a crossroads. I didn't know what I was going to do, and decisions needed to be made, and things I was even struggling with my own life, and I'm reading it just as my daily reading, and all of a sudden, the answer to what I was struggling with is right here. You know, the Bible doesn't tell you, yes, take this job, not that job. It doesn't say that. Or go to this school and not that school. Or marry this person and not that person. But what it does is it gives us, it begins, this, it comes alive. And you read it, and all of a sudden, you feel this something in your heart go, my gosh, that's what I've been waiting on. That's the clarity I've been waiting. And you read it once, you think, well, you know, I. And you read it again, and it becomes a little bit more rich. And then you read it again, and all of a sudden, one day, it comes alive, and it speaks to you. And it's what you need. It's your substance for where you're at. And you begin to taste, and you begin to see that the word of God is good, is authoritative. It's his word. It's what he wants for your life. It's what he left it. He gave it to us so that we could read it and we could experience his presence through it. These words are to help us walk through life, to help us endure sadness and pain, to help us manage success the right way, to help us understand God, to help us understand yourself, and to help us understand the world. This word is so precious. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, with the team from here, we stood at a place behind St. Paul's Cathedral in London. We stood at this place called St. Paul's Cross. And many thousands of people walk past it every day. They don't even know it's there. And at St. Paul's Cross, it was a place in the 15, 1600s that it was kind of like the New York Times. People came there to get information, find out what's going on. And at that time, England was ruled by the Catholic Church. And they would get all their information from this area. And at that time, they used to gather the works of a man named William Tyndale. And they used to burn them right there to make a public statement against what he had done. And let me tell you a little bit about William Tyndale. He was an evangelist. He was really a renegade, but also he was an expert in Hebrew and Greek. And William Tyndale, who had this hunger to know God, he had this hunger to encounter Jesus, he had this hunger to have God's word into the hands of the common man, began to take Hebrew and Greek and translate it into this common language called English. And they began to print these Bibles. And at that time, to have one page of the English Bible was a crime punishable by death. The Catholic Church at that time believed that only the Bible should be in the hands of the priest, of the elite, of the spiritually astute. But William Tyndale believed the Word of God should be in the hands of every man and every woman, written in their common language. He believed it so much that he gave his life for it. He was tried and convicted with heresy to be put to death by strangulation, and he was later burnt at the stake. Why did he do it? He did it because he believed that the Bible could change the world. And people begin to read scripture in their own language. They begin to grow in their relationship with Christ. Revival began to happen. Preachers began to be able to preach it. They could read it and preach it and communicate it and read it. And he became alive in the hearts of those who loved Jesus. And it was no longer about what some other man tells me I'm to believe. They could read it themselves, and God could speak to them, and God could say, this is how I want you to live your life, and this is how much I love you, this is how much I care for you, this is the faithfulness that I've been with my people from the beginning, and I will be with you to the very end. And God began to speak to people. It's so important for us to know that God's word is just not something that is just flippant. And very interesting, and William Tyndale's dying breath, he prayed this. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. And then he was killed. Interesting enough, in 1611, this Bible called the King James Version was birthed. And they used the Tyndale Bible for much of their translation and much of the writing, what we have in the King James Version. See, the Bible that you hold in your hands, it did not come at a cheap price. It costs far more than the $19.99 you paid for it at the Christian bookstore. People paid with their blood, with their life. Mothers and fathers, men and women, laid their life down. Martyrs were killed because they held one page of the Tyndale Bible written in their own language. The Word of God is alive. These people gave their lives for it because they believed it was for the common man. John was telling, before we came out, there's a museum down in Orlando, Florida, of a Tyndale Bible. And it's on display. But something very interesting about the Bible, that there are blood stains. And the blood stains came from a martyr who clutched the Word of God as he was being killed for his belief and conviction that God's Word is a part of his life as a Christian and a follower of Jesus. And he gave his life, and the blood was spilt on the Bible. The question is, what do you think when you see the Bible in front of you? What do you think when you have the 12 Bibles in your house? This isn't some flippant magazine that we can flip through. It is given to you as a gift by God through faithful men and women of God to engage with it, to read it, to let it change your life, to let it shape our world, to let it cause a revival in our midst, to take us to go from being an inch deep to a mile deep. It wants to take us to a fresh new place. My friends, God's word, it guides you. It leads your steps. The word of God shows you a God who is faithful to his people and gives you his reassurance that he will be faithful to you. The word of God speaks to us, helps us to resist evil and live righteously. The word anchors us so we can live a victorious life in a broken world and offer healing to the broken around us. The word of God confronts us and comforts us and corrects us all at the same time. The word reveals the face of a suffering Savior and points to him who will come again as the victorious King. The word of God is to be read, it's to be studied, it's to be cherished, and it's to be a part of our lives. This is God's word. May we no longer see it. It's just something we can or may not engage with. The longings in your heart to be the believer, mature follower of Jesus that you long to be will come to you as you engage your life and let the word of Christ richly dwell in you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.